Amen, amen. The message today is entitled Deaf, D-E-A-F, Deaf to the Truth. Now, we're living in a generation today, the generation today compared to 5 years ago, a more wicked generation today more than 5 years ago. Amen? 10 years ago to today, 15 years ago to today, 20 years ago, the generation to today. And we see the moral decline of not only society, but we also see the moral decline within the church. Confessing Christians, the pulpit no longer controlled by the Holy Spirit of God, but controlled by money, by greed, by power, by preachers that are building their own kingdoms and with their own agendas. And I pray, and you, Christian, you need to pray for ministries and for churches that have been led astray by the vice of greed and corruption. But there is a deaf to the truth. I want to read to you in Acts 7, 51 through 60 real quickly. Stephen, in the book of Acts, was a devout man of God. The Bible said that he had the face of an angel. And Stephen was one of the first speakers of the word of God to be confronted with persecution and with death. This is known as the first martyr of the Christian church. They began to confront Stephen as he was spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they began to accuse him of things and say ugly things to him. And the crowd became bigger and bigger and greater, much like today. Persecution against Christianity is getting greater and greater and greater. Now, please listen to this. He began to speak to them from the Old Testament. He began to speak to them about Moses and about everything, about the law, and he brought them to Jesus. And when he comes to the point of speaking about Jesus, Acts 7, it's a very long message that he has given to the crowd. But look what happens in verse 51. He says this, all of a sudden he stops preaching to them and he begins to prophesy to them. He says in verse 51, "You stubborn people, you are heathen at heart and deaf to the truth. Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you betrayed and murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." The Jewish leaders were infuriated by Stephen's accusations, and they shook their fists in him at rage. But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed steadily into heaven and saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing in the place of honor at God's right hand. And he told them, "Look, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing in the place of honor at God's right hand." Then they put their hands over their ears and began shouting. They rushed at him and dragged him out of the city, and they began to stone him. His accusers took off their coats and laid them at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they stoned him, Stephen prayed, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he fell to his knees, shouting, "Lord, don't charge them with this sin." And with that, he died. Now, you got to understand something. The Bible says that the Lord was adding to the church daily thousands who were being saved. This prayer of Stephen before he died, "Lord, do not charge them with this sin," I believe God honored that prayer, because after this, there was a great revival. There was a great move of God where, yes, persecution began and people began to get scattered, but people were starting to get saved. Why? Because the Bible says that the prayers of a righteous man availeth much. What does it mean? It means that a bona fide, Holy Spirit-filled Christian who prays to God, the prayers get to heaven and God hears them. That's what this means. And so when Stephen prayed, God heard that. Jesus, when he was on the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." God heard that prayer. And you see, Christian, people today are deaf to the truth. They do not want to hear what the Bible has to say. They do not want to hear what the Spirit has to say through the churches of Jesus Christ. They put their hands to their ears and they're shouting, ah, blah, 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 and they're coming against truth. Right now in America, they're just coming against the church by trying to shut down businesses. But one day, they're going to come at you with physical stones, with things that will take your life away. Not just right now, your livelihood, but eventually, the goal is to take your life away, Christian. We are headed into that direction. Persecution has been on the rise worldwide. Just the other day, they sentenced, we heard that several years ago, North Korea sentenced a family to life imprisonment because they had a Bible in their home. And a two-year-old that was in their home is also being put into prison for life as well. Makes no sense. The Bible said they'll call good evil and evil good in that last day. And that is what we're seeing happening. And they're coming against the church worldwide. Not in America, because in a sense of physical attack. And what's so sad is that what we see in America, in the churches even, is a refusal to hear the truth. You see, all that goes against the Word of God is now being forced upon society to be accepted as the norm. This transgenderism movement, this homosexual movement. And you, last night, well, we talked about it on Friday night, actually. When we talked about this on Friday, you see, it's not just homosexuality. It's not just transgenderism, but it's sexual immorality, period. Heterosexual, whether you're homosexual, heterosexual, sex outside the marriage bed is evil, it's adulterous, and it's qualifying of hell for eternity. And you must repent of your sins. This is the problem. I'm not just speaking about what transgender people are doing in the public schoolhouse, trying to introduce drag queen shows to kindergartners and the first graders. I'm not just talking about that. That's not just what we're dealing with here in sexual morality. People are hopping from bed to bed to bed to bed. And you know, God can forgive you. God can restore you. And God has done that. Look at King David. King David was not only guilty of adultery, he was guilty of murder. But yet God forgave him because the Bible says that no one had a heart after God like King David. And God knows your heart. And you're going to make mistakes as a Christian. But the thing is, you must live in a continual mindset of repentance of sin. And you must learn from your failures to never do those things again. You see, that is what the Bible teaches us. But what we see happening today, sadly, in the church, is that pastors and elders and congregation members, they're not even in the Word, they're not in prayer, and so therefore, it's so easy to be deceived by Satan. It's so easy to fall into temptation. Why do you think when they asked Jesus, teach us how to pray, what did Jesus say? He said, here's how you pray. You see, they saw Jesus praying, and these disciples were raised up in the law of Moses. They would go to the temple and pray when they were supposed to. But when these disciples saw Jesus praying, it was a whole nother thing they had never seen before. Therefore, they said to Jesus, teach us how to pray, because what we thought prayer was, we had no idea, because what you're doing, that is something that's unseen, unheard of. And this is what Jesus told them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, and forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Deliver us from temptation. This is what Jesus was saying. If you're not in prayer, you're going to fall into temptation time and time and time again. You know, the Bible will keep you from sin, and sin will keep you from being in the Bible. Now, we have a refusal to hear the truth. All that goes against the Word of God in society today is now being forced upon society. You know, people said, well, I'm not going to drink Bud Light anymore because that transgender person, that they're Bud Light, so I'm boycotting Bud Light. And I was like, good. Don't get filled with Bud Light. Get filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen? But now they just going on to Modelo or going on to, you know, Miller Light. No, leave Bud Light, go to Miller Light. No. Go to the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Amen? The Bible says no drunkard shall inherit the kingdom of God. This is not what Michael says. This is what God says. And so we are either going to worship the God of the Bible, or we're going to worship a God that we created in our opinion and exist only in our minds. And when we step before God, we're going to be sadly mistaken that we thought we knew God and we really didn't. Know the God of the Bible. Know what His Word says. Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, obey my commandments. What does the church say today? We're not under the law. The church says, oh, we're not under the law. We're free. We have liberty to do whatever we want. Jesus will forgive us. Yes, but Jesus also says, if you love me, obey my commandments. Amen. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have a perfect, righteous, holy life. That is not what I'm saying. You will make mistakes. You don't know what it's like, some of you, to fail God and fail God horribly. And I hope you never experience that. But God is not finished with you yet, Christian. And if you find yourself, those watching online, if you find yourself in sin and you've been a confessing Christian, it's time to get right with Jesus today, because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. Right. Today is the day of salvation. Well, I got saved 10 years ago. I got baptized in the water when I was 5. I'll tell you what, if that's what you're saying today, you need to get saved. Because when you've been reborn again, when you've been saved, when you've been filled with the Holy Spirit, you know it. Man. Nobody needs to tell me that I was born on May 22nd, 1972 in Northside, Houston on Airline Street at Doctor's Hospital. Nobody needs to tell me that, because I know that's a fact, because my mama told me. Amen? And your Father in heaven told you when He saved you. And though you may go through the trials and the tribulations of life, and you may feel that you fail God, God saved you. And it's time to get up, and it's time to honor Him. It's time to follow Jesus. It's time to pick up the cross and follow Him faithfully. Amen? Amen. Amen. Are we awake this morning? Amen. For the past several weeks, I've been saying, come on, let's wake up. There is some lukewarmness going on at Grace Christian Center. There's angels sitting next to you. You can't see them, but they're there. And they're shouting hallelujah. I hear them. We're like this. I hope Kelly's isn't packed when I go to lunch. Come on, guys. We're in the house of the Lord. We need revival. The land is a dark place today. There are people dying every day in perversion, in addiction. And it's time that the people of God be the people of God. Get your heart right with God and start serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Look, they have a refusal to hear the truth. People that claim to, atheists out there, they don't even confess that God is real. But yet, when you talk about Jesus, they get angry. Why are you getting angry if you say you don't believe it exists? Look, if you come to me and tell me that you worship a unicorn, I'm not going to get mad, because I know unicorns don't exist. Do they? No. They don't exist. So if you come and say, I'm worshiping a unicorn, I'm not going to get mad, because I know you're in foolishness. And so somebody, my wife told me this. It was a school district. And somebody identified themselves as a cat. And now in that public school, they have a cat litter box in the bathroom. This is real. It's not made up. It's sad. It breaks my heart. Because now you can identify with whatever you want to be. And isn't that the lie that Satan told Adam and Eve? If you eat of this fruit, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God. It's the same trick, but in a different package. The author of confusion. And what is the Christian doing? We're too busy with our jobs. Too busy to go to prayer meetings. Too busy giving, and I understand you got to work, but Jesus says, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, but you give to God what belongs to God. If you're giving all your time to the man out there and not what you need to give to God Almighty, you're having an unbalanced Christian life. If you find yourself Christian with no joy, no peace, it's because you're giving too much to the man out there, and you need to give it to the man who's the man of all men. And I'm talking about Jesus. I take that personally, what Jesus did for me. Amen. He went on that cross just for Michael. Now, I know He did it for all of you too, but I take it personally that He did it just for me. I would rather be in heaven right now. But because Jesus continues to put breath in my lungs, we live and we testify. You got to be tired of sin. You got to be tired of failing God. You have to be tired of being tired. Nobody wants to hear this truth anymore. Bub's Ice House, that Ice House, the bingo halls, the sporting events, they're all full. Nothing wrong with going to a sporting event. But I tell you what, I've seen so many Christians go there, and when Alvarez hits a home run, and I've been guilty of that. But I tell you what, I go into the house of God too, and I give a louder voice to Jesus. We talk about they hitting grand slams. Jesus is the all-time hitter. Amen. He's never been struck out. He never will be. That's my Jesus. That's your Jesus. So when a shout of praise is preached in the church house, somebody needs to start standing up saying, amen, brother. Amen. That's what's missing. There's joy in the house of the Lord. There's power in the house of the Lord. In Revelation 22, 18 through 19, John says, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. You don't add anything to the Bible, and you don't take anything from the Bible. And this is what, when you have a refusal to hear truth, when you're living such an immoral life out there like we see happening today in all areas of society, they're doing this against the Bible. And you're bringing a curse upon yourself. You see, as a Christian, as a preacher, I don't have to convince anybody. I am just one of a multitude of messengers on this earth. Every Christian is a messenger. I just have a bigger platform, that's all. But we all have a platform. We are all called to be messengers of God. We all have one message. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now you got to understand, that's just the beginning. And there's so much more to this enchilada. There's so much more to being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. There's so much more to walking in the holiness and the righteousness of God. There's so much more about the fire of the Holy Spirit. That's born again, but that's being an infant in Christ. And it's time to mature in the Lord Jesus Christ. John said that whoever adds to this book, takes away from this book, God's going to deal with you. 2 Timothy 4, 3 through 4. Paul says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth, and they will be turned aside to fables. That's what we see happening in the churches today. That's what we see happening in every sector of society today. Every area. Nobody, and we, you know, since Trump's been in office and out of office, all of a sudden there's an attack on the media. Oh, well, the media lies. And yeah, newsflash, they're human. Not only that, it's an unbelieving world. If you're not in Christ, everything else is a lie. And so, yeah, the media will tell you some truths, but they'll also tell you lies too. But you see, here's the thing. I've seen people who identify themselves as conservatives, Republicans. And they'll say, well, CNN and all these news people, they're telling nothing but lies and indoctrination. Yeah? But what about the truth of the Bible? Have you accepted that truth? You're over here complaining about them telling lies, but have you accepted the truth of Jesus? No. And so therefore, whether you're a conservative or a liberal, a Republican or a Democrat, that has nothing to do with the truth and the gospel of Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do, because all of that is the religions in themselves. You know, a lot of liberalism and Democrats have infiltrated churches, and that's why you see liberal churches. And a lot of conservatives and Republicans have infiltrated churches, and that's why you see a lot of churches that are very right-wing, so to speak, and they're, you know, make America great again and all that. You look, I'm not for Trump. I'm not against Trump. I'm not for Biden. I'm not against Biden. I'm for Jesus Christ. Amen. And if you got a problem with that, that's your problem. I'm not here to tell you who to vote for. I'm here to tell you who to believe in, and that's Jesus Christ. Because men will come and men will go, but Jesus Christ will remain forever. He is the Lord of my soul. He is the King of the kingdom that I belong to and you belong to. So when we get our hopes and our eyes on Jesus, we're going to know how to vote. We're going to know how to act in society. Because we're just, as Christians, we're just journeying through this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. My home, your home, Christian, it's in another place. Jesus even said it when he stood before Pilate. He said, Pilate said, "Are you a king?" And he says, "It's true as you say I am, but my kingdom is of another place." Jesus didn't call down legions of angels to rescue him. He went to the cross. He endured persecution because the truth sets you free. And a lot of people don't understand what true Christianity is. And it's about death. That's what true Christianity is about. It's about sacrificing the desires of this world and this flesh for the name of Jesus. That's what true Christianity is about. And you know what? Preachers won't preach it because the pews will be empty. Look around you. These pews are full, aren't they? Nope. Why? Because the truth of the gospel is preached here by the ministers in this church. Because the Holy Spirit is the pastor of this church. We have to make a decision. Are we going to study the Word of God to show ourselves an approved worker of Christ? See, because you can study the Word, but if you don't apply the Word, it doesn't amount to a hill of beans. You must not only study it, but you must also believe it, and also you must apply it. Say amen. Amen. That's an amen right there. You missed it. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy 4:1 says this. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith, and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. Those teachings of demons are in churches today. Those teachings of demons, they're in the public schoolhouse today. Those teachings of demons, they're in governments today. Those teachings of demons, they're in corporate America today. Cracker Barrel, bowing down to the LGBTQPP4C310 movement. You know, they're bowing down to this. They're bowing down. You know what? It's LGBTQ, right? They're soon to add a P to it. You know what that P stands for? Pedophilia. Watch. Watch. Just as psychologists in the 60s were making a major effort to push that homosexuality should be accepted as the norm, these same psychiatrists are now pushing, read medical journals about it, it's out there. These same move of psychiatrists are pushing that pedophilia should be accepted as the norm because it's a medical issue. It's a medical condition. I'm telling you. I stand in the pulpit of God. I'm telling you the truth. The Bible talks about it. In the end, the gates of hell will be unleashed. And demons will be coming out. And that's what Paul said. Look. 1 Timothy 4:1. Read it again. The Holy Spirit, says Paul. Not me, says Paul. He says the Holy Spirit tells us that in the last time, we're in the last days, guys, that some will turn away from the true faith. Not all. Another translation says many. You could look at it as half. And they will follow demons. And that is what we see in America. They're incorporating, indoctrinating our youth. That's why we have a Christian school here. We're not going to be able to reach all of Alvin. I understand that. But Jesus said he'll leave 99 to find one. So we're looking for those one of those children to come to have a fighting chance. How do you know that one of those kids that you sow into their life will one day grow up and touch a million like Billy Graham did? You know, as a church, what are we leaving to the next generation of kids that are coming up? What are you leaving? This is your watch. This is my watch. And there cannot be blood on our hands. If the Lord Jesus tarries and doesn't come for another 30, 40, 50 years, how much evil will my grandson David face than the evil that exists today in society. What did his grandfather do, not only to David, but to Bella, to Benjamin, to all of the little kids? What did we give them? Were we a building block for them or a stumbling block for their faith? Did we just play church, or did we show to them who the church really is? You have a short time span with this because your kids grow so quickly. To whom much is given, much is required. These are the greatest things you'll ever have in your life, the children. You see, the satanic attack on this generation, what I just said, sometimes it doesn't register that the kids are the most important thing. So let me read this to you, what the Lord gave to me last night on this. From the days of the Garden of Eden, Satan knew the Messiah was coming. Moses was a type of Messiah used by God to deliver the Hebrews out of slavery. But through wicked rulers, Satan murdered all the male infants in the day of Moses as an infant. The same thing happened in the day when Jesus came as an infant. King Herod, under the spirit of Satan, murdered all male infants. Today, through abortion, through child sex trafficking, through forcing teaching transgenderism in the public schoolhouse, Satan is destroying the whole generation. And what are you doing? You call yourself a Christian? When's the last time you led somebody to the cross of Jesus? James said, don't just be a hearer of the word. James said, be a doer of the word. And if you don't want to do, get out of the way. Get out of the way. Because isn't that what Mordecai told Esther? If you don't go to the king and save the Jews, God will get someone else to do it. People can get offended by me saying that, but I really don't care. When we have a genocide happening before our very eyes in America, millions upon millions upon millions of babies being aborted, I really don't care if your feelings are hurt. I'm going to tell you the truth, Christian. If your faith is not impacting society, if your confession of Christ is not sowing seed into the next generation of kids, you're just taking up space. Jesus said, anyone who puts their hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. What does that mean? That means that if you say you're going to follow Jesus, but yet you still are bound by sin, you're still bound by it. Remember when we used to go do this and we used to drink and that? If you're still entertained by all that, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. Again, I'm not saying you're going to be a perfect Christian, but there has to be a difference between you and the world. Amen. Deaf to the truth. So many ministries are preaching a cotton candy gospel. The messages are self-centered, focused on the riches of this life, disconnected from the realities of spiritual warfare that the church is called to engage in. We must run from these cotton candy preachers. Their teachings are sweet as honey in your mouth, but it will be bitter for your soul. The Lord gave me that last night. I'm like, well, it coincides with what you gave me. Remember that. These teachings will be sweet as honey in your mouth, but it will be bitter for your soul. Remember that. Remember that for the next few moments. In Luke 9, 23 through 27, it says this. Then Jesus said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profits is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. That last verse has always puzzled me for most of my Christian life. And I'm going to touch base on that here in just a moment. But I tell you truly, he says, there are some, Jesus says, who are standing here, right here with me, who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Think about that. Jesus said a lot in this passage. He said, if you want to find your life, lose it. If you want to keep your life, you're going to lose it. The world has something to offer you. Satan has something to offer you. And if you buy it, if you buy it hook, line, and sinker, you'll lose that thing that Jesus has to offer you. You hear what I'm saying today? This is speaking on many different levels and many different people here. You need to hear this. Following Jesus will cost you. It will cost you. But praise God, who wants to hold on to perversions and addictions and sin? Because the Bible says that the wages of sin is death. Who wants to hold on to death? Take it, world. I don't want what you have to offer. Give me Jesus. Amen. That's life. Amen? And it's not just for you, Christian. It's for the person next to you. Are you a stumbling block or a building block for the person next to you in their way of following the finding the cross of Jesus? Now, Revelation 10, 8 through 11, again, John says, he writes in the book of Revelation, John, he says, then the voice which I heard from heaven, this is John, the young apostle John, he's old now. He said, I heard from heaven, and it said, go, take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who stands on the sea and on the earth. So I went to the angel and said to him, give me the little book. And the angel said to me, take and eat it, and it will make your stomach bitter, but it will be as sweet as honey in your mouth. So then I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it, and as it was sweet as honey in my mouth. But when I had eaten it, my stomach became bitter. And he said to me, you must prophesy again about many peoples, nations, tongues, and kings. There's a cost in preaching to an unbelieving world. Now, when we read the other scripture earlier, in Luke 9:27, but I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. Was Jesus possibly talking about the young John who would become the John the Apostle, who wrote the book of Revelation, which we just read, where John says, I ate the book and it was sweet in my mouth as honey, but it became bitter in my stomach. The angel says, you will prophesy again. You will preach again. Look, pull it up, please. Revelation 10, 11. And he said to me, you must prophesy, look, again. Meaning he had already preached the gospel. At the time the book of Revelation was written, John was an old man. They tried to kill him by putting him in a boil of oil, hot boiling pot of oil. And the Bible says, I mean, not the Bible, I'm sorry. Tradition says that he was delivered miraculously from that. Historical tradition teaches that. Here's a fact. Nobody knows how, when John the Apostle died. There are theories. Some say he just died in old age. And some say he never died. There's only two other men in the Bible who said they've never died. That was Enoch and Elijah. They just simply went to heaven. But there is something mysterious about the Apostle John. You know, something so serious that John was the one that Jesus said, you will take care of my mother. As Jesus was on the cross, he told John this. All the disciples knew John as the beloved. You know, though Jesus did not have his favorites, John was known as the beloved one. The reason why I'm telling you this is this. For most of us as Christians, it's going to take a lifetime to really just get to where God wants you to be in understanding of the cost of following Jesus all the days of your life. The Bible says that there will be two witnesses that will preach the gospel one last time, but they will die at the hands of the Antichrist. For many, the church has thought that these two witnesses would be Enoch or Elijah or Elijah and Moses. But no one has ever thought, could it possibly be John? Could John be the one? Because you see, all the apostles died. John, there's no record of John ever dying, ever. Look it up, study it. There's no record of John ever dying. And yet, in the book of Revelation 10, the angel says, you must prophesy again. And in the very next chapter and verse, I want to read this to you. Revelation 11, 1. Then I was given a reed. John says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God, the altar and those who worship there. But leave out the court, which is outside the temple, and do not measure it. For it has been given to the Gentiles, and they will tread the holy city underfoot for 42 months. And I will give power to my two witnesses, and they will prophesy 1,260 days clothed in sackcloth. Watch this. I'm going to tie all this together as we close. Watch this. The angel is speaking of the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem during the days of the Antichrist. And guess who's there? John. John is there measuring. John is there at the temple. And there's a mention of two witnesses. You got to remember also, it was John who was a part of the group who saw the transfiguration of Jesus with Moses. You remember that? There's some mysterious things in the Bible that we don't understand until they're actually fulfilled. Verse 4 says this, these are the two olive trees and the two lampstands standing before the God of the earth. And if anyone wants to harm these two individuals, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, they must be killed in this manner. Look, guys, these two prophets of God will be in Jerusalem, and they will speak truth, and it will be as fire coming out of their mouth. Do you realize that that same power is for you today, Christian? That when you speak the truth of God, it's as fire coming out of your mouth. And that's why the unbelieving world will hate you, because what you say is the truth to an unbelieving world. And a lot of people who are Christians, deep in their heart, they are afraid of this persecution. They are afraid that they could lose it all, so to speak, on the earth. Verse 6. These two witnesses have the power to shut heaven so that no rain falls in the days of their prophecy. And they have power over waters to turn them to blood and to strike the earth with all plagues as often as they desire. You remember the prophet Elijah? He prayed it wouldn't rain for 3 years, and it did not rain. And what does James say in the New Testament? That Elijah was just a man like us. Our prayers are the same as his prayers. Verse 7. When these two finish their testimony, the beast, the Antichrist, that ascends out of the bottomless pit will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. And their dead bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt. That's Jerusalem, where also our Lord was crucified. Then those from the people, tribe, tongue, nations will see their dead bodies 3.5 days and will not allow their dead bodies to be put into the graves. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them, make merry, and send gifts to one another, because the two prophets tormented those who dwell on the earth. That could not have happened until our day, because we can buy something from Prime, Amazon, from UPS. It comes in quickly, right? We can get on our phone and we could talk to anybody in the world at right now. I could talk to Pastor Prabhakar from India right now, FaceTime, whatever, and you can see him. We could talk live to him right now. And that's what happens here. These people are going to rejoice for 3 days. These two men of God will be dead in the streets, and the world will see this at one time. All the news channels, all the podcasters, all the people who hated to hear the truth up until this point, they will see this and they will rejoice, and they will send gifts to each other. That technology is now. We have it now. We're in the latter time. They hate the truth. They're deaf to the truth. God has been wanting to fill his people with fire, but we've been too busy quenching the fire of the Holy Spirit. We've been too busy in adultery. We've been too busy in lust. We've been too busy in drunkenness. We've been too busy in unbelief. We've been too busy in our sicknesses, in our depressions. And God can break that, because he's God. He can break it. Verse 11. Now after the 3.5 days of the breath of life from God entered them, and they stood on their feet, and great fear fell on those who saw them. These men came to life. We're going to see this. The world's going to see this. Verse 12. And they heard a loud voice from heaven saying to them, "Come up here." And they ascended to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them. And in the same hour, there was a great earthquake, and a tenth of the city fell, Jerusalem. And in the earthquake, 7,000 people were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. I'm telling you guys, we're seeing incredible things. You ever hear in the news lately, people are starting to see more about UFOs? UFOs, even the government is investigating all these UFOs. We're being set up for a great deceivement. There's no aliens out there. All it is demons manifesting as extraterrestrial life. That's all it is. It's demons appearing in the sky. Why? To get your eyes off of Jesus. To give an explanation that when the rapture does happen, this is why 1 billion people in the earth disappeared, the Christians, because we who are united in one thought, we believe in transgenderism, we believe in wokeism, we believe in critical race theory, we believe in all these things. So therefore, we are evolving like monkeys to frogs to human beings. We're evolving into something else now. And so evolution, and not only that, but these aliens that we've been seeing and that now the government confirms exists, this is why the Christians have disappeared, because we are evolving. Sounds like a fantasy, right? Right? But yet, millions upon millions of you will spend your hard-earned money to go see the superhero movies, Transformers, Spider-Man, all of that. And I'm not saying that's bad or wrong or anything, but you believe that science fiction, right? What about when all of this is truly instigated by the final Antichrist, who has the power to deceive you in such a great way? If you don't have the Spirit of Christ in you, you will be deceived. Why? Because you were deaf to the truth. You confess to know Jesus, but Jesus will say to those on the left, "I never knew you. Depart from me." Hey, Michael's on his way to heaven. You know why? Because Jesus is not a liar. Jesus doesn't lie to me. He doesn't lie to you. Jesus says, "If you will not be ashamed of me before men, I will not be ashamed before you and my Father who is in heaven." Well, you know, what you see is what you get. I'm not a perfect man, but I tell you what, I have a clear conscience before God today. And I give God all the glory for that. Amen. And you can say the same thing, I pray. You're not a perfect person, but you have a clear conscience with Jesus. You're walking in a way that is honoring to Him. And that's beautiful. Because you're not deaf to the truth. Jesus says, "The truth." Let's finish it. The truth will set. Come on, guys, you believe it? The truth. Oh, come on. Let's say it again. The truth. Oh, let's try one more time. Come on, guys, like you mean it. Do you believe it? The truth. Oh, yeah, there you go. Now we're getting somewhere. And we're in the church house. Can you go into Walmart? And somebody says, "Brother, I need prayer." Can you just drop everything, start laying hands and praying on them right there in the middle of Walmart? That's what's needed. That's what's needed. And when I'm outside the church sometimes and I start praying with somebody out there and I'm praying with my eyes open, that's the way I do it. I'm weird. But I see people driving by and they're like driving, like, they're driving by looking, "We got his hands on that bird. What are they doing?" Let them be curious. Let them hear the glory of God. Amen? Amen. 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 Receive that word in Jesus' name. Give Him praise in His house. Give Him praise in His house.